Colossians 2, verses 6 to 15. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's God's word.
Right, good. Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning, and it is the Lord's Supper this morning. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper together, and it's a wonderful thing to be together as a family with all the kids and children in, and it's one of the things we like to do here at Summer Lees whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper is to look at the cross from another angle, because it's a little bit like a diamond with all the different facets, and there's so many different ways, and we can appreciate the beauty and the wonder and the glory of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so today we're going to be doing that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But it is a kids-friendly talk. So if the kids want to come up, we've got some things here you might be interested in, I think. Come on up, kids. And we're going to talk today about something really fun, something really special. I've got something in a bag here, but you're not allowed to look at it just yet. So we'll hold that off for a bit. Great. How are you all? Been watching the Olympics and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's been fun, hasn't it? Today we're going to talk about something. I'll put it up on the board here. Celebrating the Lord's Supper, but we're going to be talking about debt today. Any of you kids got any debts? No. Okay, so we're going to be talking a little bit about that, and we're going to explain and explore what does this word debt mean? Because in the Bible it tells us that on the cross Jesus cancelled our debts. Debt is a tricky word because it means that you borrow something, but you have to give it back. Okay, so often grown-ups, when we think about debt, we think about money. Yeah, any saving up any money here? Any kids saving up some money? Maybe you've got some pocket money, you might be saving it up. Well, when grown-ups have to buy something really big like a house, sometimes we have to, because we don't have enough money for it. So what can we do? We have to borrow money. We have to go to the bank and say, can you lend me some money? And then I'll give it back to you later on in about 30 years. So it takes a long time to pay it off and to give it back to the bank. But that's called a debt. But I thought that's a bit tricky, isn't it, for kids to understand debt, because we often think about a money debt when we borrow money and then we have to give it back. Okay, so that's a money debt. But I thought maybe, have you ever had to stay in at lunchtime? Probably not, because your kids are really good. But sometimes kids who are not really good might not be listening to the teacher, and they might be wasting the teacher's time, wasting the class's time, wasting their own time. And so at lunchtime, they might have to stay in because they've got a time debt. They owe time back. They've got to make up for the time that they lost. Okay, so that might be one. But either way, even that's a little bit hard to explain to you kids. A time debt. We've talked about a money debt. You borrow some money, you have to give it back. Maybe you've wasted time and you have to give some time back. But I want to talk today about a toy debt, all right? This is a Tonka truck. Anyone ever had a Tonka truck? I had a Tonka truck like this. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know what ever happened to it, but somewhere it's been lost. Maybe you've got one like that. But I thought, have you ever borrowed a toy from a friend? Yeah. Lots of kids have borrowed a toy from a friend, and maybe your friend said to you, you can have my toy. Like, you go over to their place and you really like one of their toys, and they say, oh, you know what, you can borrow that for this whole week and you can give it back to me next Sunday at church, or something like that. Have you ever done something like that? You borrowed a toy from a friend? Did you have to give it back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a debt. So you owed them the toy, because it actually belonged to them, didn't it? It wasn't your toy. So I thought we could create a bit of debt this morning. So I'm not sure if the parents are okay with this, but we're going to create some toy debt. Okay, so I brought some toys along. This is a toy of mine. You can't buy them this old anymore. So it still squeaks. Yep, it still works. So I thought maybe we could create some toy debt this morning. And if one of you kids would like to hold this while I'm talking, then it's not yours. You have to give it back to me. Okay, so I'm still going to own it. But you could hold it if you want to for this time. Would you like to? Okay, all right. So this is a debt, okay? You've got to give it back to me. Right. So you can hold that one. Now what about this one? Okay, so I've got another one. This one's, you know, it's a bit more expensive, so anyone interested in holding this? I thought you might be here. Okay, so again, this is still mine because I built it, I put it together, you know, it's pretty good. So it's one of my favourites. So I'll let you hold it and then we can give it back. So this is another toy debt, all right? So I've created a debt here. So toy debts. So you have to give it back in the end. It still belongs to me, but you can hold it. So that's it, isn't it? So that's a debt. And there are actually all kinds of debt. I thought about some other types of debt. Do you know if you are driving a car and you drive too fast and the police comes by and you go, woo, 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 and think, oh no, and your mum or your dad will have to pull over, and then the policeman says, you're driving too fast, you have to pay $100. Yeah, so sometimes that's happened to me by a camera, and the camera captures you going too fast. And because I don't own the roads, and you know, and the government says that you've got to pay a debt, you owe money because you broke the rules. And sometimes that's a little bit different type of debt, isn't it? Where you break a rule and then you owe somebody some money. So that's another type of debt. Anyway, I was thinking about all this debt, and I was thinking about God. Because who knows a story about Adam and Eve? Yeah, in the Bible. Yeah, it's the very first one, isn't it? Adam and Eve in the Bible. God made us. We were even singing about that before. How God made us, our almighty maker. We were singing about that just now. And in the Bible reading that Isaac started with, it talked about that God made us. So God made us. So who owns us? God does, yeah, because he made us. In fact, you know, it's pretty amazing. Even when we were not born yet, we're still inside mummy's tummy, the Bible says that God knitted us together. He made us. Pretty cool, isn't it? So there's a baby who's not actually born. But God made us. It's wonderful. He's made us amazing. He's given us eyes. Anyone here got eyes? Yep, you've got eyes. I've got eyes. He gave them to us. Yep, so that was kind. And then what about ears? Yep, got some of those. Ears, God's made us. He's given us ears. What about a mouth? Yeah, all the different things that God's made, but we don't always, hold on, if my mouth belongs to God, I should probably use it for him, shouldn't I? Because it belongs to him, he made it. But I don't always say kind things. What about our minds? Yeah, what about our thoughts? I think I might be getting in debt to God, because sometimes I don't use my mind or my lips or my hands or my feet the way God wants me to use them, and I belong to God. But there's another type of debt that we're sort of getting in with God, because he also gave us the Bible. And the Bible's got lots of rules. It's a wonderful book, but it also tells me how to live. And sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I think, oh no, I haven't been living like that. It says you should always, you know, speak words with grace and kindness. And I think sometimes I haven't spoken kindly. Maybe I'm getting into debt with God. Maybe I owe God. And do you know what? Imagine if God kept a massive list of all the debt that we owed him, all the things that we didn't do, the things that we should have done, things that we did wrong. Can you imagine? A little while ago, we had a missionary with us, and they had a really long list of all the people who don't have a Bible in their language. And the list went from here all the way down the back. And I can imagine if God had a list of all the things that I've done bad, it'd be pretty long. All the things that I owe God. And there's a verse in the Bible that says that if the Lord kept a record of our sins, who could stand? A bit scary. I don't know if God really does keep a list. I know he knows all the things that I've done wrong. Yeah, so that's why the verse... Do you think debt is a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, it can be really bad, can't it? It's okay if you can repay it. Like if you can give me my teddy back at the end and my car, we'll all be happy. But what if you broke my car and you couldn't give it? And what if my teddy got destroyed and you could never replace one with one just like that? See, debt could be a bad thing, couldn't it, if we can't repay it? And the Bible tells us that we could actually never do enough to make up for all the bad things that we've done wrong. But the good thing about today, as we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, is this verse in the Bible. Do you know what it says? It says that God cancel the record of our debt. So all the things that we've done wrong, he's cancelled it. And we're going to think about that a little bit more after we sing some more songs. But let's get back the debt now, so you can bring the teddy and the car back up and you can go back to your mums and dads. So thanks for listening so well, kids. You did a great job this morning. Good job. Thanks, buddy.
Great. Well, we're going to let's just pray after singing that lovely song and express those words in prayer as well as song. Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with thankfulness, Lord God, for all that you have done for us. And we're reminded especially of that as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper together today. We just pray now in these few more moments as we consider this verse in Colossians that you would help us, Lord, to understand it more. And please, by your Spirit, Lord, help us to wonder and adore you and accept all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, I want to read that verse out again for us this morning in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 13. And I think what Paul's doing here is he's listing a whole lot of things, and after each one that he lists, we could almost ask the question, and how did he do that? And then he tells us in the next phrase. So verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, so you were dead, God made you alive. And we could say, well, how did he do that? He forgave all our sins. And how did he do that? Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, how did he do that? He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. That's what we want to think about this morning. And so I've got just a couple of words here that help that come from this passage that just will help us think about the things that God has done for us here one by one. And the first one is that he has cancelled our debt. Now, many of us can remember 2020, and lots of things were cancelled, weren't they? School was cancelled, your holidays were cancelled, so many things were cancelled. Perhaps even your work was cancelled, sports was cancelled, the Olympics didn't happen, they happened this year. Flights were cancelled, so many things were cancelled, and that was a bad thing. But here, this is a good thing, isn't it? Because it's telling us that, well, what does it say? He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness that stood against us and condemned us. Now, that's been cancelled. There was a charge of indebtedness that we owe to God, and yet it's been cancelled. Debt is a horrible thing. A horrible, horrible thing. It can drive people into despair and hopelessness. It can destroy lives and families. It can be crushing and make you feel powerless.
It takes, what, 30 years to pay off a home loan, but we owed an eternal debt to an eternal God, a debt we could never pay, and yet this verse is telling us that it's been cancelled. Can you imagine if the bank rang you up and said, your home loan has been cancelled, it's yours, you don't have to pay it anymore? What joy, what wonder, what sense of relief you would have if that happened. And yet God has cancelled the record of debt stood against us. The cross has cancelled our debt. Everything that we owed God, paid. Everything that we took from God that wasn't ours is paid back. All of the demands and requirements of his law, all of the punishment that was due to us for having broken his law, all of the condemnation that stood over us is cancelled. It's incredibly good news, isn't it? It's wonderful. So that, as Romans 8 chapter 1 says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful that our debt has been cancelled? Cancelled. So how did that happen? Well, not only has God cancelled the record of debt that stood against us, he's taken it away. He has gotten rid of the document on which they were recorded, never to bring them back up again. Psalm 103 verse 12 says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Now, the east and the west never meet. And God has removed our sins from us. He has cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away. It's gone. You can't find that bit of paper. Imagine if I kept a list of everything my wife ever did against me, which, you know, that'd be crazy. But imagine. And then I said to her, I said, I'm going to cancel the debt, okay? But I'm still going to keep the bit of paper under my pillow. Can you imagine? It wouldn't really be gone, would it? I haven't really dealt with it. But God has not only cancelled our debt and said, you don't have to pay it, I'm not going to hold it against you, I'm not going to hold it over you. He's taken it away. It's gone. And then, not only that, it gets better, he's nailed it to the cross. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, it could be that you remember over Jesus there was an accusation, and for someone who was crucified on a cross, often they would put something up above them. Here is the charge for which this person is being punished. Here's the crime that they committed. Jesus, you know, was charged because he claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, and it could be that that's the kind of picture that Paul's thinking of here. The charge that was against us has been nailed to the cross of Jesus, and he's paid for it. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? But it's interesting that I don't think there was a physical charge with all our indebtedness above. That's not what happened, was it? It was Jesus' own body that was nailed to the cross. And so, as other scriptures say, he became sin for us. And he was nailed to the cross. And that's how God has taken it away. So as we come to the Lord's Supper, really everything, every time we do this, all we want to do is say, this is what God has done for you. Often as a preacher, we want to think hard about application. But there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for me to do. This is what God has done. That's what we're celebrating this morning, what God has done for us. He has cancelled our debt, he has removed it, and he has nailed it to the cross. And what does this mean? Well, if we work back up in the passage, we can see that it means that we're forgiven. We're forgiven. There's nothing now that stands in the way of our relationship. Our relationship can go forward. We can be friends. It means that we can that God has made us alive. Alive. In our relationship with God, this passage tells us there was a time where we were dead. Because of our transgressions, our sins. And what does that mean, that we were dead in relationship to God? I think it means that we were unresponsive. There was no relationship. There was nothing. So the wonder of God never captured me, and I was unresponsive to Him. All of His love that He poured out on in sending His Son for the cross drew absolutely no response out of my heart. I was unresponsive towards Him. I didn't care about His word. I didn't love Him. I never cared about fellowshipping with His people. I was dead towards God. But what Jesus achieved on the cross, it didn't just achieve our removing of the debt and cancelling of the debt and nailing to the cross and then forgiving us. Often we think about, what is the wonder of the cross? Oh, God, I'm forgiven now. But it's more than that. It's actually brought us to life. It's actually regenerated us and changed us from the inside, so that now, whereas before I was just completely insensitive, if you've ever held something that's dead, it's unresponsive. It doesn't matter what you do to it, it doesn't react. But now, God has brought us to life. Isn't it amazing? The death of Jesus gives us life. That through His dying, we become alive. And now, the love of God is poured out into our hearts and we cry, Abba, Father. And now we love Him. And now we're hungry for His word. And we delight to be with His people. And now I've got all these different desires inside of me. Now before I just used to love sin, but now I want to fight sin, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live a new way. I want to live to please my new heavenly Father. And so I've been brought to life. Isn't it amazing? The cross of Jesus brings life. And so that's what we want to remember this morning. And all of this in the context of Colossians is talking about the fullness that we have in Christ. That's it. We're complete. Jesus has done everything. Completely sufficient. The cross has won all that we need for this life and the next. So I'm just going to pray and thank God. That's all we can do, isn't it? We can't do anything else but just say, thank you, God, for what you've done. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do just want to pause this morning as mums and dads, grandparents and as kids, and just to say thank you, God, for cancelling our debt. Thank you for removing it, for nailing it to the cross, and for giving us forgiveness and life through the death of Jesus on the cross. Thank you too, Lord, that you have given us this very practical reminder that we as your body can share together in the Lord's Supper. And we pray now that you would bless us and encourage us and strengthen our faith as we partake. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.